You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation, and welcome to your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or in Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. The Heat went into New York after a tough loss to the Brooklyn Nets on Friday. The Knicks were without their best player of the season, Marcus Morris, and the Heat had not dropped back-to-back games all season, and of course they had beaten the Knicks rather badly during their previous meeting this season, and none of that mattered, as the Knicks wound up beating Miami 124-121 in the rather close game where Miami's defense just fell apart completely. The last few minutes of the game were rather confusing. A lot of people seemed to be concerned with the shot selection there. Jimmy Butler struggled a little bit. He had an opportunity to hit some free throws. He missed one free throw towards the end of the game there. He also drove to the rim and wound up passing off to Bam Adebayo there. The Heat were actually had a commanding lead. Well, I wouldn't say commanding, but they had a solid lead, 7 points with about 4 minutes left. And the Knicks just wound up charging their way back. They actually wound up taking a lead of their own, and then Miami kind of went back and forth there over the last few minutes of the game. RJ Barrett, the rookie for the Knicks, hit a big shot with about 17 seconds left to put the Knicks up two. And then Jimmy Butler wound up driving to the rim, missed a layup, but the Heat wound up collecting the rebound. And then Jimmy on the ensuing play wound up driving back to the rim, and he was met at the rim by a couple of Knicks defenders. A lot of people on Twitter thought that Jimmy should have taken the shot. I didn't see it that way, to be honest with you. I think that he made the right decision. He wound up passing it to Bam Adebayo, but Bam wound up bobbling the ball. So, a lot of people are saying Jimmy should have taken the shot, been more aggressive. They're also saying that he didn't make a mistake in passing that, or maybe the pass was a bad one. But I honestly think that Bam just kind of bobbled it. I know the Heat announcers thought he had more than he didn't have the kind of space to really collect the ball and take a shot, but I think he had a pretty wide open lane because Jimmy had kind of had the defense kind of collapse on him, and so it kind of would have been an open layup for Bam with a couple seconds left in the game. Unfortunately, they wound up not being able to collect the rebound, and it went to the Knicks. RJ Barrett wound up making a free throw to put the Knicks up three, and then Miami got the ball back with about 0.5 seconds left. There was some argument and some review whether or not they should have gotten more time on the clock. It didn't really matter. And then in the ensuing half a second left, the inbound took too long. It wound up getting in Bam Adebayo's hands. He flung the ball up after the shot clock had expired, wound up hitting it, adding salt to the wound there. And Miami wound up losing, like I said, a three-point loss there. So much to kind of go into here because it was just an ugly game. Miami's defense in particular looks horrendous. They were allowing way too many three-pointers, way too many open looks. They wound up way too many shots at the rim. The Knicks are a very, very bad team. They finished 52% from the field, 46 of 89 overall. Their three-point shots were not falling, luckily, but they did get 31 attempts. They only hit 9 of those, so 29%. But either way, they were getting a lot of open looks, and they got lucky that they were a bad three-point shooting team. If they had anybody there who could hit three-pointers, like they had Reggie Bullock out on the floor, a good three-point shooter, supposedly, but he only hit 4 of his 12 three-point attempts. But nobody else was really knocking those down. Kevin Knox hit a couple three-pointers. Julius Randle, who is not a three-point shooter, wound up hitting one in clutch moments of the game there. And they also took 28 free throws and wound up hitting 23 of them. Same amount as Miami did, actually. So that was pretty even. There was no free throw disparity. The Knicks did wind up winning the rebounding battle by one rebound, exactly. Miami continues to lose games where they don't have the rebounding edge there. But Miami's rim protection in particular was pretty bad. There's a stat I'll get into towards the end of the game, but Miami just wound up leaving a lot of open looks there. RJ Barrett in the first quarter in particular looked like he was easily getting to the rim past Duncan Robinson there or Kendrick Nunn or whoever was trying to guard him. He had pretty wide open looks there. Alfred Payton, who is not a good offensive player, wound up getting some pretty open looks. Also finished with 10 points there. Taj Gibson, who's a pretty determined workhorse and has always been pretty good around the rim, just wound up capitalizing on Miami's poor defense. And a lot of that starts with Myers Leonard, who just was victimized pretty regularly. I mean, I don't want to put all the blame on him. I think a lot of it is Miami's defense in general, and a lot of it, you know, also happens to be on their personnel. But with Bam Adebayo being somewhat undersized, somewhat roving as a defender, and Myers Leonard being mostly, well, let's say ineffective at trying to stay on to other players and not much of a rim protector, not any kind of rim protector really, Miami's defense just collapsed completely, and the Knicks were able to get pretty much whatever open look they wanted to. I think they scored something like 75 points at the rim, kind of ridiculous. Maybe that's overstating it a little bit, but it seems like it was that much anyway. No, not as overstated as I thought. They actually wound up finishing with 72 points in the paint, so almost double of what Miami did. Miami had 46 points. Either way, it was just they were getting to the rim at will. Their personnel is kind of mismatched there. Obviously, they have a lot of forwards. They have a lot of big players there. Bobby Portis. Marcus Morris, you know, obviously he wasn't even there. Julius Randle, guys that are big, guys that are physical and can get to the rim. And this was something that hasn't worked in the past. It didn't work against Miami the previous matchup, as I mentioned before. But it was really, they were really at a higher level against Miami on Sunday night. And they really took advantage of Miami's smaller, weaker lineup. With Nunn out there who's undersized, with Duncan Robinson who's somewhat undersized, with Jimmy trying to do as much as he can on the perimeter, it just wound up giving a whole heck of a lot of points. And again, giving up some pretty wide open threes as well. It was a bad combination. It actually played towards the Knicks' strengths there because, you know, they're not very good shooters, but they can get to the rim. They are physical and can finish around the rim at a pretty high level. And so without an adequate rim protector there, Miami's defense just looked cooked. And they wound up blowing this game. And, you know, I think there was some poor shot selection there down to stretch. It seemed like Tyler Hero, and you don't want to put all the pressure on him or put the blame on him, but he seemed like he was taking the battle somewhat personally going up against RJ Barrett to prove that he was a better rookie or something along those lines. I know that they have some history going back to high school, not necessarily a tense one, but there's some familiarity as opponents and things of that sort. And so I think Hero was kind of jacking up some shots there. Goran Dragic looked really out of sorts. He was not the player that he has been. And while Jimmy Butler did finish with 25 points, he was 8 of 15 from the floor, didn't shoot a single three-pointer, and was, you know, as he often has during the course of the season, relied on his free throw shooting where he was 9 of 11, but he did miss one in the clutch that would have helped Miami somewhat. Who knows if it would have made the difference or not, because eventually the Knicks wound up scoring anyway. But either way, James Johnson wound up playing a bigger role than he has in the past, and it's something worth talking about, whether or not he might actually be deserving of a starting spot. You're listening to Locked On Heat. It's a new year and a time to recommit to being the healthiest version of you, and Echelon is what you need to get started. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products. They were really cool looking for everyone. Busy moms, dads, first responders, elite athletes, whoever you are, whatever your activity level, Echelon makes a bike for you. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in the gym. I know if you're like me, it's hard to find the time to go someplace and carve out any time to work out. Echelon makes it easy for you to work out at home, and you'll love it. If you're not 100% satisfied, they'll give you your money back. So go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about their limited-time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. echelonfit.com/LONBA. Get started, get fit today. I'll get into the player and stat of the game in the next segment. I wanted to talk a little bit about James Johnson because he's played in 3 out of the past 4 games. And he was actually pretty good against the Knicks. One of the few Miami players that seemed to make a positive impact. Wound up with 19 points, 6 of 7 field goals, 3 of 3 from 3-point range. Has not missed a 3-point attempt just yet. 4 of 5 in the line. Finished with also 4 rebounds, a block. He did wind up fouling out of the game. But James, in particular, has looked pretty impressive. His shooting, I don't expect it to be consistent throughout the rest of the season. But the reality is that he is a versatile defender who can make a lot of plays on offense. And I think if Myers is going to struggle as a defensive player while he's starting, and that's no fault of his. Look, there are just limitations. He does other things by virtue of calling out players on defense or by being a loud communicative voice on the floor. But he is not quick enough to match up with a lot of players. Again, the Knicks are somewhat undersized, but they have a lot of bigs who can get to the rim, and Leonard was exposed today, unfortunately. And so with James Johnson, which is why he played 21 minutes and Myers only played 24, a lot more than he probably should have, I think that adds another level of versatility there. Justice Winslow, again, missing tonight's game, or this afternoon's game, because of the lingering back issue that has been the source of some trouble. The latest news on that is that he was sent back to Miami to have a back specialist reevaluate the bone bruise and determine the next course of action. A lot of people are theorizing that Justice is upset with the team, that the team is upset with Justice, that the team is shopping Justice. I don't know that there's any clear indication one way or the other about anything that's going on behind the scenes, and I wouldn't read too much into it, because I think there is still faith there that Justice can be a contributor at a high level, particularly defensively. I tweeted this out during the game. I think he absolutely could have made an impact if he had just been able to stick with a guy like Randall or Gibson or even RJ Barrett. He would have really, I think, shut him down. Barrett played 40 minutes and went up scoring 23 points, and he's just the kind of size that as a former Duke player, I think Winslow would have done a very good job of matching up with him. And I think he would have done a lot to limit his offensive impact there, because, Barrett just seemed to have his way with Heat players all game long. He had 40 minutes, he got to the line 10 times, and scored 23 points. That's the kind of output that you can't give up to a rookie who has struggled for most of the season. James Johnson tried his best, but he allows the defense to do some things differently. And if he does wind up starting, you can use Bam back at center position. That might limit some of his impact defensively. He's been so good there all season long, and you wonder whether or not that might put too much stress on him going up against bigger players, more physical players, because he is somewhat undersized there. But you don't have to stay with the same starting lineup. It seems like there's a rigidity there to Eric Spoelstra where he's unwilling to make these kind of game-to-game changes there. And I'm not sure why, because I think they're absolutely essential. If we saw anything from an innovative coach like Nick Nurse in Toronto, is that you make these changes all the time. Eric Spoelstra has been very good at making changes because he's been forced to over the course of the last few seasons, when they had so many players lose games to injury, and he had to wind up starting, like a million different starting lineups over the course of the season. But, just if everybody's healthy, you can still make changes to the starting lineup, and he just seems very unwilling to go away from that. Myers is a hell of a personality. He's fun. He's interesting. I think he is a good, again, vocal presence out there. And I know that his work ethic is something that the Heat organization and coaching staff value very much. But there are limitations there. And I think you have to kind of understand those limitations and try things differently. At the start of the season, well before we expected Myers to make the kind of impact that he has, for him to be a consistent shooter from long range, to be a starter, because I don't think anybody saw that coming, considering he came off the bench for almost the entire duration of his career in Portland. I thought that James Johnson would be the starter, and I think he's making a strong case. I think he starts. He winds up being a versatile defensive presence out there. I think Bam can do a lot, as a versatile defender. Johnson is another playmaker. For now, anyway, he's shooting consistently and well. I like Myers-Leonard, but I think Myers-Leonard can provide off the bench what we expected Kelly Olynyk to provide off the bench, and he hasn't started in his third straight game, and it doesn't seem likely that he'll earn any playing time. So I'm not quite sure what the plan is for Olynyk either. I'm not sure if Spoelstra is punishing him, if Spoelstra doesn't think that he can make a contribution. He told us after the most recent home game that we shouldn't read too much into Kelly's lack of playing time, that it was mostly dictated to, smaller lineups and things of that sort. But I don't believe that's the case. I think at this point now, he just doesn't have any confidence in Olynyk and his ability to contribute. And so why not go with James Johnson? I mean, if you feel that Johnson, and this is an appeal to Spoelstra, if he feels that Johnson is contributing enough to earn 21 minutes off the bench, for him to have the ball in certain situations there, and to be able to be the catalyst that he has so often been over the course of his career, and especially here in Miami, why not start him? What's the difference? If the minutes don't really matter, and if he, as he said another time, a number of times, Spoelstra has, that Leonard and Olynyk and the guys in this roster, it doesn't matter to them whether they start or not, so long as they all win. If you can bench Goran Dragic, you can bench Myers freaking Leonard. And again, I like Myers. I like his energy. I like his impact most times. But there are some times when it's clear that he is not consistent enough on defense, mobile enough on defense to you know, really be counted on. And I think Johnson provides that. And look, maybe you were hoping that Justice Winslow would provide that, but he's been injured. He's looks like he's going to be continuing to battle a lingering back issue for most of the season. You probably want to ease him into the lineup slowly and surely. I'm not sure if by the time the playoffs roll around, if Miami is still in good playoff position, whether or not you want to utilize Justice Winslow off the bench or start him. But during the regular season, you have plenty of opportunity to test out whether or not James can be a contributor. And if nothing else, if the front office, and I don't think that's the case, if the front office is looking to move Johnson, then why not put him out there in a position to succeed where you can increase his trade value? Because I think he is, I've said this before, he's a big body, he can handle the ball well, he can make passes, he's erratic as a playmaker, but you know what, you take your chances with him because he is, again, a catalyst. And as a defender, I mean, I've seen him do a fantastic job of locking down Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I think that speaks volumes as to what Johnson can do as a versatile defender. And he may not be as consistent as Justice Winslow is, but he can still do a lot of what Justice does defensively. And I think it's worth bringing him out there. So why not take a chance and go with that for a couple lineups and go for that with a couple games, you know, against San Antonio, who is Miami's next opponent. Maybe it doesn't make enough. It does not make enough sense to go with Johnson because they start Jakob Poeltl and LaMarcus Aldridge there, and that's a bigger lineup. So you have Bam on Aldridge, you have Leonard on Poeltl, and that kind of balances out a little bit there. But against other teams, make some changes there. I mean, the Knicks were starting Taj Gibson, who's like 6'9". In as their center, and I think Johnson could have done a good job of matching up with him, getting into foul trouble, and being a physical enough presence to limit what Gibson does. Myers was getting cooked down low, and he was allowing a lot of these points at the rim. And the defense has to shift and work double because of Leonard's, you know, issues defensively. So it's a concern, and I think Spoelstra should consider it. I know he's not listening to this podcast, nor does he probably care about my opinion, but I think it's worth exploring, and I think you can take a chance and not lose too much in the process because Miami's already struggling defensively. They're not going to have an adequate rim protector out there, and while Myers Leonard might be the more consistent three-point shooter, Johnson does a lot of other things offensively that you can count on, and so I think it's worth exploring. Anyway, the stat and the player of the game are next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember, listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating review, especially if it's a good one. The stat of the game, 30. That's the number of shots that Miami allowed in the rim. The most, fourth most, I believe, it was what Cooper Moorhead of TheHeat.com has post pointed out in the past 5 years of basketball. I mean, that's, Miami was pretty porous. There's been so much of an a demand for adequate rim protection as a measure of defensive efficiency and things of that sort. To have a guy like Hassan Whiteside or Rudy Gobert or players of that sort that can defend shots at the rim, it's essential for defenses to thrive. And Miami just has struggled with that for most of the season, and particularly tonight. They gave up 25 shots at the rim to the Nets, 30 shots at the rim to the Knicks, giving up 72 points in the paint. I mean, that's way too many. They're having their way around there. And I think they use a zone defense to try and limit those shots, but the Knicks, give them credit, they wound up passing the ball and busting the zone pretty easily and having a number of open looks there, you know, because they weren't relying on their perimeter shooting. They can get at the rim. A lot of what we've seen throughout the course of the season is that teams can complete those passes on Miami and find seams in the defense because that defense is just rotating, and as a result there's going to be an open look there for somebody if you make the right pass at the right time. And it certainly worked in New York's favor today. The player of the game, I wanted to give it to Julius Randle because I think he actually wound up having a major impact. He was 10 of 21 from the field, 26 points. Maybe not as efficient as Barrett was, but he just was a monster down low. And again, that three-pointer was just a backbreaker because Randle is not a good three-point shooter. And that shot was just ridiculous. I mean, for him to be able to go in there and knock it down in clutch moments of the game there, you know, during the regular season, he's only a 29% shooter from three, and he hit a big shot. Give him credit. But, you know, I will say that the player of the game was Jimmy Butler. Again, 25 points, 8 of 15 from the field, 9 of 11 from the free throw line. He made some mistakes, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. And I won't go so far as to say that Jimmy is getting to that point that we've seen in the past where he's going to be frustrated and take out those frustrations publicly. I don't think he's going to dress any of these players down. But I think he is probably expecting more from guys and hoping that somebody will step up a little bit more. And he made some mistakes himself. Look, his shooting is a legitimate concern now. I mean, we've talked about it before. He's getting to the line. I understand that he's getting points anyway, but he's also struggling as a shooter. Like, you know, he was taking three-point shots there. Well, I'm sorry, he didn't take a single three-point shot. He was struggling from mid-range. He struggled at the rim, and that's an issue. And so while he's making a huge impact and he's still Miami's most productive player, he's also expected to be the team's closer. It was a question that was submitted via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat whether or not Jimmy is, in fact, Miami's closer. And I'm not so sure. I think that makes sense. I think Eric Spoelstra, so much as he's always gone to Dwayne Wade over the course of his career, will go to Butler. But I think it's also a case of closer by committee. We've seen Tyler Hero with the ball. We've seen Goran Dragic with the ball. I think we'll see other players have an opportunity to score in the clutch situations or in waning moments of the game. I think Butler can still be the team's closer, but he struggled a little bit in that regard. And he should have risen to the occasion. Unfortunately, he did not. But Goran Dragic actually wound up being the scapegoat of the game. I think he was, as I mentioned before, a player that struggled mightily for Miami. We've come to rely on Goran's offensive output, in particular coming off the bench. He played 24 minutes, was only 3 of 7 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3-point range. Did not have dialed up at all. He finished with 4 assists and 2 rebounds to go along with his 6 points, but that's woeful production there. And I don't know if it's because Johnson had the ball in his hands so much and he was looking to make plays, but Goran needs to be a little bit more aggressive. Again, that shot wasn't falling. He was 3 of 7. That's not on James Johnson. That's on Goran not having it dialed up today. And it wasn't like he was coming on the second night of a back-to-back there. I'm not sure if anything happened in that one night in between Brooklyn and New York, but they were in town for a few days there. He should have been settled in. He should have been able to recover well enough so that he can make an impact against the Knicks, because he had a huge impact in that previous blowout win there. But it wasn't there. He wasn't dialed up, and he looked pretty bad. And Miami struggled and suffered as a result. So hopefully he'll be dialed up next time. Again, they're traveling. They're off on Monday. On Tuesday, I imagine another long marathon practice session before they host the Spurs on Wednesday. So I'll keep you posted. I'll be at that practice and let you know what happens. But again, they're off until Wednesday. And that's it for today. You can connect with me on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email me at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. I'm David Ramil, signing off, and thank you, as always, for your support.
Yeah! Wrap it up, B.